Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidinil mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Sadaqallahul azim. Ulama-i kiram, most respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa, for the past few weeks we are discussing a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that my Allah, my Rabb, specifically ordered me, instructed me, directed me, commanded me with regards to 9 things. Rabb, my Rabb, He is ordering me. That means Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that. I explain this, that it is actually for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him committing any kind of sin. He was masoom and sinless. But to lay emphasis on any point, or to place emphasis on any point, when the person says that I have been instructed to do this, then, and especially when the person is in a leadership position, then it means that those who are the subordinates, how much more concerned they must be with regards to that particular instruction. Because when he has been instructed, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the last and the final messenger, and who was Mahbub of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he who was protected from any kind of sin, but when he is saying, my Rabb is ordering me, then it means that we should open our ears and listen carefully what he has been ordered, so that we may be also protected from those sins by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I must fear him in all conditions, whether it is in my private life or public life. We have many new brothers here tonight. Therefore, I will just mention a few things which will be repeat. That I did explain this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not lead two kinds of lives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him behaving differently in public, all the time fearing Allah, and when he was in his private life, when he was in seclusion, when he was on his own, or when there was nobody seeing him, at that time he indulged, na'uzu billah, in any kind of sin, as we do. That we are concerned about what people will say. If our parents, our children, our family, our friends, and if it's a shaykh, then his murids, if it's a sustad, then his students, if they are not around, then we believe that now we have got the license to indulge in any kind of sin we wish to. And this is where we make a mistake. And that is where the real test is. The true test is when the person is in seclusion. Therefore, seclusion, which is a very desirable thing, it is considered to be desirable if in that seclusion the person is with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If that khalwat is ma'allah, if in that khalwat, in that seclusion of his, the person is desirous of seclusion, he does not want too many people around him, he wants to be alone, he does not want to meet too many people. And that is the desire of all the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that if they can find some jungle, or if they can find some mountain top, or if they can find some shore of some ocean, then they will go there and make Allah, Allah, and pass their time. But because they have a responsibility, therefore they do not shun that responsibility. They live within people, they live in the city, they live in the town, they live in their homes, and they continue with the message, or with the propagation of that message of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that is their desire. Therefore, when Hazrat Khaja sahab rahmatullah alayhi, Khaja Azizul Hasan sahab Majzoob rahmatullah alayhi, when he recited that poetry in which there was this couplet, اب تو آ جا اب تو خلوت ہو گئی، ہر تمنا دل سے رخصت ہو گئی، اب تو آ جا اب تو خلوت ہو گئی. حضرت مولانا اشرف علی صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ مجدد ملہ، he said that even if I had a million rupees I will give you as inam on this poetry. So there must have been something. To us it did not sound that grand, or it was not something unique. Many poets have said things like that. So what did it really mean? That har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. In other words, he is saying that, oh Allah, whatever desires I had in my heart, we have desires that I want a big property, I want gold and silver, I want some children, I want some grandchildren, and I want to travel to this part of the world and that part of the world, and I haven't as yet seen this waterfall, and I haven't seen that garden, and I haven't seen that Empire State Building. So many desires in our hearts. Every day we have million and one desires. So he is saying that har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Oh Allah, now whatever desire was in my heart, everything is gone, finished. I have no other desire. My heart, I have emptied it of all desires. The only desire now, oh Allah, is in my heart that you come into my heart. That is my only desire. And I emptied this heart of mine from all associations and attachments so that you may come into this heart. Of course, we must not misunderstand this. It does not mean that after that they divorce their wives and they divorce their children, they distance themselves from their children and they don't go to their businesses and they don't do anything of this world. Nothing like that. What it means is that anything which is attaching the heart, one is the person's hands are occupied in his business. The tongue is occupied in talking to the customer and the client. His eyes are occupied in looking at the merchandise. His feet are occupied. But his heart is with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He does all this because it is an order of Allah ta'ala that he must earn halal. His heart is not attached to this. As Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar sahab, Damat Barakatum says, دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی وہ با خدا رہے، دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی وہ با خدا رہے، وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کے بھی سب سے جدا رہے. So that was the purpose of seclusion. The purpose of seclusion was not to sit there and start fantasizing, start thinking of all the old sins that the person has committed, that now the person is alone in the room and the light has been switched off, so therefore now play all the old reels. That what did we do in our college days and university days, and what did we do in the days of our jahiliya? Now we start playing all those reels and we start thinking of all those same people who were misleading us and those beloveds who will be of no help and assistance to us in any way. Now again we begin to think of those things and play those reels. That is not the purpose of seclusion. For such people it is better to stay in company. In company where they are talking general, where there's general discussion, there's no ghibat, there's no indulgence in any kind of sin, it is better that they stay in that company than seclusion. But for those people who have got connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is desired that they should have some seclusion. It is said that when if you keep on drawing water out of the well, then one day it will dry up. So those people who are also in deen work, then they too should have some time where there is no one in between them and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to fill up this well again. So what I was saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me, instructed me that I must fear him in both my private life and public life. So we are very much concerned when we are in public, especially those people who are prominent, those people who are prominent businessmen or prominent scholars or anything of that nature, then they are a little careful in public. But when it comes to private life, then they will forget. Jo karta hai tu chupke, ehle jahan se koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. That when you are hiding and committing any sin, then somebody is watching you. We forget that somebody is watching. We forget huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum, that he is with you wherever you are. Wherever we will be, look at the mashayikh, just to train their murids, what they did. One buzrug, he told his murids, take one chicken and go and slaughter it somewhere where nobody sees you. So everybody went, somewhere they slaughtered it and they brought it back. But only one murid did not slaughter it. So he said, why didn't you slaughter it? First he asked the others, where did you slaughter it? He said, I slaughtered it somewhere where there was nobody watching. So in that quiet place, I slaughtered it. Finally, when it came to his turn, he said, why didn't you slaughter it? He said, Shaykh, you said, must slaughter it when nobody is watching. Wherever I went, somebody was watching, and that was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If only we can learn this one point, that Allah is with us wherever we are, then that is sufficient to make our islah. After that, we have to learn how to make namaz and how to read the Quran Sharif and how to do other things. But these majlises are merely to create the interest. But after that, we have to learn all that. But at least the person has taken the first steps towards his islah and reformation. Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, one of his murids, he told him, he said, I have fear of Jahannam. I have the fear in my heart of the azab of Jahannam, the punishment in the fire of hell, and the punishment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I've got some sort of a fear in my heart. But at the same time, I can't seem to give up sins. So can't you find a way out for me where I commit the sin too and I don't go into Jahannam also? That was the request. Now imagine what a kind of request. And these type of requests were even made to Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not exactly the same thing, but there are in the hadiths where people made such kind of requests that the other sahaba became very angry. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not become angry. Like that young person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me permission to commit zina. That's one thing I cannot do without committing zina. So give me permission to commit zina. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, imagine asking him for that kind of permission. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw that this is a young person and he is sick. Therefore the mashayikh, they do not look at the people who say that we are in this sin or that sin as being inferior. They do not despise them. They do not look down upon them. They treat them as patients. They treat them as sick people. They do not try to humiliate them and embarrass them. So the person says that I want to commit zina. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, he said that the woman who you are going to commit zina with, she will be, would you like somebody to commit zina with your mother? He said, no. So he said, then the woman that you will be committing zina with, won't she be also somebody's mother? He said, would you like somebody to commit zina with your sister? He said, no. With your daughter? He said, no. With your aunt? He said, no. So he said, the woman that you are going to commit adultery with or fornication with, she also is going to be somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, somebody's mother. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam put his hand on the chest of that young person and he said, Allahumma tahhir qalba, Allahumma tahhir qalba, waghfir zamba, wa ahsin farja, wa ahsin farja. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh Allah, forgive his sin, purify his heart and protect him from committing adultery, fornication. The sahabi says that after that, throughout my life, even the thought of zina didn't come into my mind. That was the barakat of the sohbat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what we learn from there. That had he not been in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had he not mentioned his sickness and his disease of the heart to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he would not have obtained this kind of prescription and cure. It was the barakat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's dua, and it was the barakat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's companionship and sohbat, that this person who could not do without adultery or fornication, suddenly he says that after that even the thought of it didn't come into my mind. That is the barakat of sohbat. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for all times until the day of qiyamah, he will keep such people alive in this world. They will not be nabis. They will not be sahabis anymore. But they will be walis. They will be muttaqeen. They will be sadiqeen. That in their company, people with sickness of this nature, they will find a remedy. They will find a solution. People who are indulging in all kinds of sins, but they get the himmat and the courage to give up those sins. So Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, he did not shun him. He did not tell him, you have become a kafir and a murtad, get away from here. Because you can see that this person is saying that I do have that fear in my heart of the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That itself was the indication. Because you can make out when a person is negligent, when a person is just making a joke of deen, when he's making a mockery of deen, then a person can make it out that this person is not questioning for the purpose of cure. He is not questioning for the purpose of a remedy and prescription. This person is merely making a mockery of deen. So such people, the mashayikh have not replied in this manner. Like one person asked Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, why is namaz farz 5 times a day? And he knew that this person is, he does not want to really find out anything. It is just for the purpose of passing time or just finding something to talk about. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Rahmatullah Ali told him that why is your nose on your face and not at the back of your head? So he replied that if the nose was on the back, at the back of the head, it would have looked very odd. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali replied, he said that if everyone's nose was at the back of the head, then it wouldn't have looked odd. So why did Allah Ta'ala put it there? Another person asked, he says that why did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make zina? Why did he make the taking of interest from the kuffar? Why did he make the taking of interest from the kuffar haram? So he said that why did Allah Ta'ala make zina with the kuffar woman haram? So this person said that the ulama must not be so dry in their answers. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali replied, the questioner must not be so wet in his question that he drowns in it. So some people, they were given replies like that because there was no real purpose in their questioning. Now here, this person who is asking Hazrat Ibrahim Ibn Adham Rahmatullah Ali, the very fact that this person has mentioned the point that I have got this fear of Jahannam in my heart, but it's just that my weakness that I can't seem to get out of this sin that I'm committing. It's an evil in my life and I acknowledge it, but it's just my weakness. I just can't seem to get out of it. So many people tell us that. But the fact that he said that he's fearing Jahannam, but it was a very strange kind of request, that how can we give him permission that you carry on committing sins too and you stay away from the azab of Allah too? That can't happen. Because the moment the person commits sins, then he has connected himself with the azab of Allah Ta'ala. So Hazrat Ibrahim Ibn Adham Rahmatullah Ali said, yes, I can find a way out for you. And that is that whenever you desire to commit that sin, then do one thing. That commit it at a place where nobody is watching you. Where nobody is watching you, where Allah Ta'ala is not watching you, go and commit it there. Where Allah is not watching you, where Allah is not seeing you, go and commit that sin there. Then there's no harm. You can go and commit it with pleasure, but go and commit it at a place where Allah Ta'ala does not see you. So he said, Hazrat, that's impossible. Wherever I will go, Allah Ta'ala will be seeing me. How can I get away from Allah Ta'ala's sight? He said, well, in that case, whenever you feel like committing a sin, when you want to commit zina, when you want to commit any theft or any other crime that you are thinking of committing, then commit it, but not in the kingdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Get out of this earth and the heavens. Get right out from there and then go and commit it wherever you want to. So he said, that is also impossible. How can I do that? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif in Surah Rahman, Ya ma'shar al-jinn wal-insi in istata'tum an tanfuzu min aqtaris samawati wal-ard fanfuzu la tanfuzuna illa bisultan fabi-ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukazziban. Ya ma'shar al-jinn wal-ins. Allah Ta'ala is addressing both the jinn and the ins. Jinnat and insan, human beings and jinnat, that if you have the power to get out from the zones of the earth and the heavens, then do so. You will never be able to do so. Where can we get out? Wherever we go, either it's the heavens or the earth. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that is impossible, you will never be able to do so. So Hazrat Ibrahim Ibn Adham Rahmatullah Alayh told him that when you want to commit the sin, then commit it. But only thing, get out of the kingdom of Allah Ta'ala. He said, no, that is impossible. They said, all right, then take the third option. And that is, that whenever you want to commit sin, commit. But don't eat the food which has been given to you by Allah. The rizq which Allah Ta'ala is providing for you. Don't eat that rizq of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then after that, you can commit the sins that you want. Because when we eat food, it brings strength into our body. And when we have strength, that's when indulgence in sins begins. That person who's got no strength, his legs are in traction and is suffering from cancer and his heart, liver and lungs are failing, then ask that person that if he's thinking of his mashuk at that time or he's thinking of that film Is he thinking of those videos? Is he thinking of the cinema and theaters at that time? Or is he thinking of Allah at that time? So it is only when we are in health, in good health, that's the time we want to commit sins. And where did the health come from? From eating those fruits, eating the fish, eating the eggs, eating the meat, and eating all the other delicacies that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has provided for us. When it gives us strength in our body, then at that time we want to sin against that same Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We want to disobey that same Allah who provided that risk for us. If some father has to keep giving his child everything, and that child is most disobedient, every time he eats the food at home, he does everything, and after that he keeps on violating, or he keeps on disobeying or displeasing that father, you think he'll go on giving him? So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is the one who is providing us this risk and sustenance. It's not out of our intelligence that we are getting it. Many times I have explained this in my talks, that if you analyze the ni'mats that we have with us, whether it is in the form of properties, whether it's in the form of clothes or shelter or anything that we possess, it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's gift. Because either the person received it by hard work and effort that he put into his business or in his profession or wherever it may be. So then, who is the one that gave him that intelligence? Who is the one that gave him that chip in his head which was processing all the time the information? Look at this brain that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to us, and he's not charging us anything for it. We don't pay anything for it. We don't require any kind of current or any kind of plug to plug it into. While the person is driving from here, he wants to go into West Street, then his mind is all the time processing. Now I'll take this road, that road, that road. Suddenly he sees traffic heavy here. He says, no, I'll take this one. And he chalks out and maps out so many different routes. All that is happening in his brains. Calculations in his brains. The architect is using his brains. Everybody is using the brains. Ask those people who are in the asylum, what is the value of brains? So that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who blessed this person with his brains and that intelligence, then due to that he was able to do that hard work. And even if he had the intelligence but he didn't have hands and feet, nothing, then what would he have done? So the person who says, I earned it, he says, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provided, I earned it. Then ask him that who is the one that gave him eyes, ears and his intelligence. So it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If the person says, I received it as a gift, then who is it that put into the heart of that person that you take this and give it as a gift to so and so? Why didn't he take it and give it to somebody else? The gifts that we get, it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who puts it into the heart of someone that take this and give it to so and so. Otherwise that person can never give it. There are millions of others, why didn't he go and give it to them? And if that person says, I received it as inheritance, because that's the only third way that a person can receive it, then that inheritance, who is it that caused him to be born in a certain family of certain parents? The person was born in a palace, and therefore he inherited a palace. Why didn't everybody else inherit that palace? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala caused him to be born there. So therefore it is this risk which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is providing. So he tells him, he says that if you want to commit sin, go on commit sins. But then don't eat the risk that is provided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And see after a few days what happens if the person doesn't eat the risk of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then he won't even have the strength to pick up that leg of his. So therefore, Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi alayhi told him that if you want to commit sins, then do this. He says, no Hazrat, that is impossible. How can I do without food and drink and carry on sinning? Because then there will be no strength left in the body to sin. So he says, all right, then let's look at another option. And the other option is this, that when the angel of death comes to visit you, when Hazrat Israel alayhi salatu wasalam comes with a warrant of arrest, then at that time you must say, that I am not coming with you. I am not coming with you. So he says that is an impossible thing to do. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. So who can extend his time? As a Shaykh, Mawlana Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, again that beautiful couplet of his comes to mind, which is on the board there too, and which is on his letter, or on his visiting card. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. No matter if you have heard this many times, but every time that I say it, it has an effect on the heart. Straight away we think of our condition. That is our yaqeen that. Do we have that yaqeen? What he is saying there. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bula le khuda nahi maloom. Aur usme tausi bhi hai ghair mumkin, aur miyad uski nahi maloom. Ajeeb visa of life this is. When Allah Ta'ala will call, nobody knows. And impossible to get an extension on this visa. No amount of bribe will work in any home affairs department. Here in our home affairs department, bribes work for extension of visas. But we will not be able to bribe the angel of death that please give me an extension. And when it is, and what is the duration of that visa also nobody knows. So how can the person be committing sins then when he does not know when this visa of life will be cancelled? So Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh tells him that what you should do is when the angel of death comes to visit you, then at that time just tell him that I'm not coming with you, I'm going to stay in this world. He says, Hazrat, that is impossible. When he's going to come, you think he's going to ask me first? He's going to take my permission to take me away. That is one thing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept a secret from us. So that we can put a brake on our najais, haram desires. It is there just to put that brake on the haram desires. It is not desirable that you sit and think of death all the time and do nothing else. That is not the meaning when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you must think of death in abundance. The thinking of death in abundance merely means that we should think of our death to such an extent that it forms a barrier between us and sins. That the moment we want to commit some sin, then straight away we think that there is death also behind us. So the person will restrain himself. I was always saying, and in my du'as also many a times you have heard, when we make du'a that, Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death visit me when I am committing any kind of sin. When I am in the cinema or theater or casino or glued to the television. And finally, we heard of an incident very, very recently, where the person, after having made one namaz, went home, switched on the television, and was watching the program when suddenly his neck jerked and he collapsed, and when the doctor checked him, he had gone from this world. So this person who reported this to me, he says that I should listen to you many times. But then when I saw this with my own eyes, he says that was sufficient for me also to throw out this TV from my home. I'm telling you in the masjid, I'm not lying. So take a lesson. So Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, he says that this is what you should do when the angel of death comes. Tell him I'm not interested in joining you. You should have informed me at least a year in advance so that I should have made some preparation. Now what's going to happen to this business of mine and the property of mine and my wife and my children? What will accompany the person in the grave? All these things will come with us in the grave. We must make use of it. It's a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes pleased when we make use of his ni'mat. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ. So Allah ta'ala becomes pleased when we make use of these ni'mat with shukr. The person is eating good food but with shukr, with gratitude to Allah ta'ala. And the health that he is now gaining by means of that food, then he is using it also in the correct places. So Allah ta'ala becomes pleased. He's wearing good clothes, he's making shukr. He's traveling in a good car, he's making shukr of Allah. Whatever comforts Allah ta'ala provides him, he's making shukr. So then Allah ta'ala becomes pleased, and لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Then Allah ta'ala will definitely give that person more also. But they're not going to accompany us into the grave. All of it must be outside our hearts. Water is extremely important and essential for the boat to sail. If there's no water, the boat cannot sail. But if the water enters the boat, then the boat will sink. So the money must be in the pocket, it must be in the safe, it must be in the bank, it must be anywhere else. But it mustn't be in the heart. Unfortunately, it has entered the heart, and because of that, all these fights and arguments and stealing and fraud and crime and everything, because money has entered the heart. مال و اولاد قبر میں تیری جانے کو نہیں، مال و اولاد قبر میں تیری جانے کو نہیں، تجھ کو دوزخ کی مصیبت سے چھڑانے کو نہیں، جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں، جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں، کیا قیامت ہے کہ اس سے تو خبردار نہیں. Ha, what will go with us in the grave? If King Fahad has to die tomorrow, go there and watch how many tons of gold and silver they sent with him into the grave. We heard of King of Jordan recently dying. How many tons of gold and silver did they send? Or did they send his palaces with him? Did they send his khadims, all his servants with him? Did they send all the military with him? The only thing that goes with the person is his amal. Juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi. Good deeds, they'll be your friends here in this world, they'll be your friends in the qabr, they'll be your friends in the akhirah. So Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi says, well then, what you should do is you should tell that angel of death that he must not take you. So he said, no, this is... And who is this person? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be shown, then we will say, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then the angels will say, Namka naumatil arus, now you can sleep like a new bride sleeps. So we have learned that answers to those questions. It's just not, doesn't even take us 2 seconds. Even my little child, I can teach these 3 questions and the 3 answers. So what is so difficult about that? Maulana, you'll always talk about Munkar Nakir questioning in the grave. What's so difficult in those questions? 3 simple questions like that. One, Rabbuk, Madinu. So I have learned the answers and I will give it in 2 seconds. If it was as easy as that, there was no need for any preparation. But it means that if that person had Rabb in his heart, if he believed Allah was his Rabb, when he went to his business, he believed my Rabb is Allah, he is the provider and not this business of mine. When the time for Salat came, then he closed his shop and his business, or he stopped his dealings and he made his Salat because he believed that Allah is the provider. In every action of his, he believed Allah is the Rabb. Allah Ta'ala is the sustainer. Allah Ta'ala is the one who is nourishing and sustaining. Then it will be easy for this person to give that reply. And if this person obeyed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his life, then it will be easy for him to say that that is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if he followed Sharia and Islamic teachings in his life, if every time that he did something, he questioned himself that is this permissible according to Sharia or is it haram? Through haram means no matter even if he was getting billions, then he considered it as filth. As I always give that example, that it is not the quantity that comes. We look at the quantity that comes and we think that this person has received plentiful. But the quantity is like flood waters. That in flood waters you get the carcasses of dead animals. There's pigs in there, there's donkeys in there, there's cows in there, and there's scorpions and snakes all dead floating in that water. And if a person has to drink that water, then he is going to die. Outwardly it's plentiful of water. But if that person is thirsty and you give him 1 glass of clean, pure, refreshing water, it will quench his thirst and it will give him health. It will give him joy and satisfaction. So haram, if it is plentiful, person won the lotto, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, then we too, saliva starts dripping from our mouths. Hi, we too start making. I wish I could have got it. So many people say, I wish I could have won that. So these are the temptations before us. As believers, these are the things that Allah Ta'ala has put before us to see whether we are worshipping the material things or we are worshipping Allah. If we recognize our Rabb as Allah and our Deen as Islam, then we will say that if a person had to give me 2 billion, if he had to give me 2 billion pigs and say that you have won 2 billion pigs, what would be the condition of our hearts? We'll be extremely happy. We will put it in the newspapers and advertise in our families that we want 2 billion pigs. All of us will make toba, astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the person who informs us also will take the pigs and go to hell. So to the Muslim, to the believer, that haram must be as filthy as we recognize the pig to be filthy. When our yaqeen will come there, that haram, no, it's irrespective of what is the quantity. It is as filthy as that pig. It reminds me that they said that now they've got hygienic conditions. Somebody said in America that now they've got hygienic conditions where pigs are kept, and Shariat had declared pigs as haram because in those days the conditions were not hygienic. And even now, wherever the pigs are grazing on filth, then those pigs, it is haram to eat the pork, but those pigs which are brought up in this hygienic conditions, then it is, there's nothing wrong with it. So I told that person, I said, well, do you have any problem if somebody says that you are as clean as a pig? You are as clean as that hygienic pig. Will there be any problem? If anybody has to tell a person that you are clean like that pig, we always say filthy as a pig. So even if it is in hygienic condition, it is still filthy. So to the Muslim and to the believer, even if he wins 1 billion rand in the casino, he wins 1 billion rand in the lotto, or in any haram way, 1 billion rand he is given as interest, then to this person, to him, it must be absolute filth and nothing but filth. When our yaqeen will reach that level, then you see what kind of sukoon and peace and happiness you will find in your hearts. That it won't worry us at all. In fact, when we are going to read it in the newspaper, then we will say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, your fazal, your shukr, your ihsan, that you saved us from this type of haram by giving us Islam and Iman. Ya Allah, it's your ihsan that you caused us to be born in Muslim homes, or you gave us Islamic knowledge, or you gave us the understanding of deen, or you gave us your recognition and your marifat and your yaqeen, that today this billion rand is not having the least bit of effect on my heart. In fact, to me it is absolute filth. That is what we will say when we have that kind of yaqeen. And that for that person, it will be easy to say in the grave that my Rabb is Allah. For that person it will be easy. It always happens, I took this kitab to read something else. So he said, well, if that is the case, so then if you can't tell munkar, so when the munkar nakir come and they ask you the questions, in the first place tell those munkar nakir that you are not allowed entry into this grave. Tell the munkar nakir that you are not allowed entry into this grave. As we have on our office doors, right of admission reserved. So like that, put there on your grave one big board there that the right of admission into this grave is reserved. No entry allowed for munkar nakir. So he said, that is also impossible. How can I do a thing like that? He said, all right, then one more thing, that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala finally decides, when your scale of bad deeds outweighs your scale of good deeds, there is a scale which will be set up on the day of Qiyamah. What kind of scale that is, we don't know, but it will weigh our deeds. In this world, we've got scales to weigh different kinds of things. We don't weigh wood and coal on the scale that they weigh gold and silver. And we've got gauges and meters for so many different kinds of things. The thermometer, barometer, audiometer, and so many kinds of meters. Even fresh air is being weighed and measured. We go to the garage, we say put 2.1 pressure. So they are measuring something. If we say deeds, how can you weigh deeds? What is deeds? So Allah Ta'ala gave man intelligence to measure fresh air. So on the day of Qiyamah, when the scale will be set up, he says, when your bad deeds will outweigh your good deeds, then at that time, when the decision is made, Allah Ta'ala will give the judgment and verdict, and he will tell the angels, خُزُوهُ فَغُلُّوا ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمُ صَلُّوا. When that verdict will be given, that catch this person and thrust him into the fire of hell now, then at that time he must tell, I'm not going into hell. I will wait here. I want to see what you can do to me. At that time he must tell those angels there that I am not going to go. Don't you know who I am? So he said, Hazrat, that is also impossible. He said, if all those things are impossible, then why commit sins? Why commit sins then? So brothers, lots of effort is being made on optional ibadat. Lot of effort is being made. And Alhamdulillah, it is a good thing, it must increase. But this is what we all find difficult. This is what we find difficult. One woman, her husband passed away. Then she said, now who is going to take over the business of the husband? So the relatives, one of them said, I will take over there. He said, he's got some land and some property, who will take over that? He said, I will take over that. Everything that was of value, he said, I will take over that. Then she said, but he's got a lot of debts also. So he said, how long will I keep saying, yes, 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 I will do it. Let's let somebody else speak also. Everything only I must do. Let somebody else also do something. So like that, we all are very happy. When it comes to things which are sweet, then that time we want to know what is the sunnat of eating the sweet meat. But when it comes to the giving up of sins, then at that time, as my Hazrat says, Nani yaad aa jaati hai. And that is what our peace of mind really depends on. No matter which way we go about it, it depends on that, because Allah Ta'ala has declared in the Quran Sharif, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ظَنْكَا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقَيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. So Allah Ta'ala is promising in that ayat that the person who will turn away from his remembrance, Allah will make his life miserable, straightened and tight and narrow. So if that's a promise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that he will do that. So Allah Ta'ala has showed that what is the way of getting out of that and getting an enjoyable and a happy and a peaceful and a contented life. So Allah Ta'ala has showed, وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرِنَ أُنْسَى أَوْهَ يَوَهَ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْسَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That if you want paakiza zindagi, pur lutf zindagi, pleasant life, happy life, contented life, life of satisfaction, and all that is in the heart. Satisfaction, contentment, peace and happiness is not in the body. The body can be aching and full of pains. The person can have no money in his hand. All this is in the heart, because conditions of happiness, it is in the heart. Conditions of sorrow, it is in the heart. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him in his heart hayat tayyiba. Hayat, it will be life in there. So Allah Ta'ala showed that is the only way. So therefore the theme remains the same. Whether we give hadiths, Quranic verses on different subjects, but it comes and boils down to the same thing, that until we are not going to practice on these teachings of Sharia, until we are not going to make our lifestyles conform with the Sharia, and Sharia, I have explained, is beautiful. It's not tight and narrow. There's a lot of laxity. There is a lot of accommodation for every person's needs and desires, and even luxuries and so many things are accommodated in Sharia. So if the person is following Sharia, then, and he builds up this contact and connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will definitely give him a happy life. So the theme remains the same, irrespective of which way we look at it. I conclude on that incident, which I think you have heard, that there was one person who was not an alim or any muqarrir or any person who was a scholar. He learnt one bayan on Karbala. Now whether there is funeral occasion or marriage, or whether it is an economic jalsa, or whether it is anything, that is the only bayan he gives on Karbala. So somebody caught up and they said, "By this is everywhere you just give bayan Karbala, Karbala, Karbala. Don't you know anything else?" So it shows that you are not qualified and you are not a scholar. He said, "Who said I cannot give bayan on anything else?" He said, "All right, then give the tafsir of Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allah." He said, "What's the difficulty in that?" So he started, read Tau, A'udhu Billah, Bismillah, read Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad. And then he said that this surah was revealed upon Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which Rasul? That Rasul who was the father of Hazrat Fatima. Which Fatima? That Fatima who was the mother of Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hussein. Which Imam Hassan and Hussein? That Imam Hussein who was martyred in Karbala, and he gave the whole speech on Karbala again. So here, whichever way you look at it, we'll come back to the same thing. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Hey, mere pyare khuda, ay raheem, kareem, Allah, hum gunegar hai, hum napaak hai, hum siyakar hai, hum gande hai, hum nalayak hai. لیکن میرے خدا ہم تیرے بندے ہیں ہمیں معاف فرما ہمارے ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما ظاہری باطنی گناہ کو معاف فرما اے اللہ صغیرہ کبیرہ کو معاف فرما, اے اللہ عمدن خطان گناہ کو معاف فرما. او اللہ فرگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری سن دیٹ وی ہیو کمیٹڈ, اور میجر سنز اینڈ مائنر سنز, سنز دیٹ وی کمیٹڈ نوئنگلی اور ان نوئنگلی, سنز دیٹ وی کمیٹڈ ان دا لائٹ آف ڈے اور ڈارکنس آف نائٹس. Oh, may Allah forgive us, forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Allah, is dunya ke andar teri raza wali zindagi guzarne ki taufeeq ata farma. Ey Allah, hum sab ko Allah wala bana de. Ey Allah, teri quwwat-e-jazb se hum sab ko apna wali bana de. Ey Allah, auliyah-e-siddiqeen ki nisbat hume ata farma. Ey Allah, har qisam ki maasiyat se aur nafarmani se hamari puri puri hifazat farma. ہمیں صحت عطا فرما, ہم بیمار ہیں, ہم مریض ہیں, ہم جسمانی بیمار ہیں اور روحانی بیمار ہیں. اے اللہ, ہمیں صحت تامہ کاملہ عطا فرما. جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا تامہ کاملہ عطا فرما. جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. جو قرضوں کے اندر مبتلا ہے, اے اللہ, give them plenty of halal risk and remove all the financial difficulties and worries. یا اللہ, why should we turn towards haram when there is no shortage of halal in your treasures? Ya Allah, those who have got no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. And those whom you have given children, Ya Allah, make them obedient to you and to their parents. Ya Allah, sare alam ke andar deen ki aur hidayat ki hawa ko tu chala de. Ya Allah, deen ke kaam jahan kahi koi kar raha hai, sab ko ikhlas ki daulat se mala mal farma. تبلیغ و دعوت کی محنت کو قبول فرما, مدارس کی محنت کو قبول فرما. اے اللہ, خانقاہوں کی محنت قبول فرما. اے اللہ, جو بھی دین کا کام کر رہے ہیں سب کو تو قبول فرما. اے اللہ, جب ہمارا موت کا وقت آئے تو خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. اے اللہ, خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. اے اللہ, برکت والی موت عطا فرما, برکت والی موت عطا فرما. قبر کے عذاب سے, حشر کے عذاب سے ہماری سب کی حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ, رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جتنے خیر کی دعائیں کی ہے وہ تمام خیر ہمارے لیے قبول فرما, اور جتنے شرور اور فتن سے پیارے نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے پناہ مانگی ہم سب کو پناہ نصیب فرما. اللہم انا نسألوک من خیر ما سألک منہ نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. إن شاء الله ذكر بروجرام on Thursday night.